It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
I think there was a lot of good there. Our communication, I think he was getting the plays in, fast. And I think it's a growing process that it's going to keep growing. This is the start, but definitely not the end. So we'll keep growing. We'll keep, being passionate about this offense, him and I, and passionate about this team and winning.
That is Caleb Williams. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I actually think that what Caleb Williams had to say there was really valid, because that was a big concern after Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron, the entire staff ends up changing over last year, was how quickly the plays were being relayed. What was the language when it came to relaying the plays? I feel like you did see examples of that in that first drive, that was not an issue.
He seems to have adjusted, and I know if the plays are getting in quicker, he's also been given the command, hey, you need to be out of the huddle and to the line at this point at the play clock. And I think after having weeks of that not being a good look for him, he's finally gotten at least comfortable with that portion of it while still dealing with some of the pre-snap stuff that has not looked perfect. But we were warned heading into this game, it isn't going to all look perfect by Ben Johnson. It's going to take more time.
I'm sorry, there was at least one time, and maybe you guys can remember more, where they did have to call a timeout. I think it was second quarter.
Very early.
Clock is at 3 seconds or so. They got to waste a timeout right there because they did not get in and out of the huddle quickly enough for Caleb to diagnose and to put guys in motion and all of that. But it did feel like that part was better. And yes, I'm glad that we have come back to that first drive, because a lot of last night was negative, and I understand, like, a lot of people have already pushed back and said, look, that's a first scripted drive and you expect success, but guess what, there wasn't that sort of success on first drives last year. A lot of the Bears' first drives last year were embarrassing, quite frankly, and it put you off on the wrong foot for the entire game. And in this case, the Bears did stay in the game for most of it.
The bar was in Hades, honestly, from last year.
That's part of it. Yeah.
But it was also the fact that you're playing from behind if you're playing good teams and you don't do anything on your first drive. And it wasn't just that they were not getting to, say, field goal range. They were going 3 and out for many of them. That way your field position is already set up in favor of the other team. Yeah, there are so many cascading effects when it comes to the ineptitude that you have out of a first drive. And frankly, I do think it matters as far as confidence and what you're trying to establish offensively for your team. To end it in a touchdown is the best possible way, as we've seen. You know, how much did that help them throughout the rest of the game? I would argue it helped them quite a bit. And additionally, if nothing else, to have that experience during a game the way they had it just now, it will instill some confidence in the players to know that the coaching staff is doing things that help. It's one thing to mock it up in practice. It's another thing to trust them and know it's going to work in a game, and then you saw it. Like, we saw a defined approach attitude out of Caleb Williams there. It was, do not get sacked. Run. Mm-hmm. Run if you have to. We know you do good things when you're running, which he knew how to do too. You saw that in a defined manner in those first plays.
Because there were less first down penalties and there were less sacks, we saw a lot less of what we saw way too much of last year, which is playing behind the sticks. Still, that being said, you start to wonder, okay, so that first drive is so, whether you want to call it pedestrian or not, it was so efficient and effective.
Terrific drive.
They crossed the line, yeah. as we're talking about the Bears offense here on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody in right here on 670 The Score. But Ben Johnson, this is the biggest question I was looking for an answer to after the game yesterday when he was at the podium. What was the difference between drive number one and what we saw in the second half?
And what happened offensively after the hot start?
Just inconsistent. You know, we felt like we were gonna get some completions to get us going there, get the ball in our playmakers' hands, and it was those were a little bit harder to come by. I thought Caleb did a good job working the pocket there early in the game. And then the running game just didn't feel the rhythm as I was calling it. There was some good and some not quite so good. It didn't seem like we were all on the same page at the whole time. So, like I said, that's a reflection of me as much as anything else, because what we said, as long as we were communicating the mic point and we're on the same page, we'd be just fine this game.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There wasn't rhythm offensively when it came to the run game. Like, you could tell. And even what we saw in the first drive was tempo. That wasn't the case.
For him specifically, I love that answer because, okay, that's validating what I'm seeing with my eyes, one. But also, the accountability was, again, front and center. He's saying, I'm the one who has to read that and find a way to get us into rhythm as the play caller. So I love that. And Caleb Williams working well in the pocket on drive number one, and we saw as the game went on, Caleb Williams became awful in the pocket as far as passing plays go.
I love how we're all cheering Ben Johnson for being honest.
Listen.
And taking accountability.
You know why?
Yes, and it's ridiculous that it is essential. I get it, but it's all relative to last year when Matt Eberflus refused to take accountability, and then he became sort of sarcastic about it, almost like, it's my fault. It's all my fault. I take accountability. We all take accountability.
That's what you want to hear, isn't it?
Right, right. So in other words, this is essential competency. This is the minimal, rudimentary stuff that you do. Like, we should not be here applauding Ben Johnson because he put some of the blame on himself.
I'm not applauding.
Nonsense.
I'm just acknowledging.
Unless a coach gets up there and tells you specifically what they did wrong, it's a very disingenuous. And maybe it should have been us, the reporters. I actually wasn't in there for Ben Johnson. But report, what specifically did you blow? What did you do wrong?
Can I guarantee you something? He's seen the tape. Today, when he's available, he'll answer some of those questions.
Yeah, he should have answered them after the game. He spoke for only 5 minutes. That's outrageous. I don't care who you are. As a head coach, you should speak more for 5 minutes than what we heard out of Ben Johnson yesterday.
Do you think there weren't enough people in there because people were in the locker room?
No,
I don't know. I was not in the room for that. But I will say, here was the... There was something different last night. So I don't know if this is Ben Johnson's style or because it was late and you wanted to keep the program moving. As we're waiting outside of the locker room, waiting to get into the locker room, we're told at that point, 5 minutes until Ben Johnson will be talking. Usually, we're in the locker room for maybe 7 to 10 minutes before they start telling us, Ben Johnson to the podium, and then Caleb Williams to the podium. So this might have just been because of Monday Night Football, but it was odd that it was happening so fast, making a lot of us, the reporters, make decisions on where we wanted to be. Luckily, I was able to be in the locker room, and Chris Emma was in there for the head coach.
Yeah, they might have done that for a reason, too. But for the head coach, the new head coach of the Bears, who they're paying $13 million to, who
Game one.
Is somebody that we wanted to hear from the very beginning, and I need to know what he's doing. No, I want to hear from him for more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what went down, if reporters ran out of questions or if they ended it early. I do not know the answer
to that. What I heard when I was watching it was that there was a last question said.
Oh, so a call for? Somebody said last question?
Yes.
PR staff.
After
so
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So but to me, he didn't get the opportunity. You didn't ask him, we as a media didn't get to ask him enough questions. Because I do want to know about some of the decisions that were made in game. I do want to know about your decision to go for it on fourth down early in the game as opposed to kick the field goal. Or what you saw on that fumble, for example, that you wanted to challenge. Those are things that, as a coach, they are under your purview directly. But, you know, when you're only talking for 5 minutes, because I'm not sure why that needs to be more, you know, this is something that I'm going to point out.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.